Hi there. Welcome to the Dialogue on Digital Rights for Media Practitioners. My name is Roland Yagaba, and I am the founder of Mwado. Mwado is an African social network that is working to ensure that creatives on the platform earn from their content. I am also your host. This is a documentary-style podcast where we'll take a deep dive into the experiential divide between women and men in media while they're conducting their work online. You will hear views from 7 different Ugandans in the media industry on this topic. But due to the pandemic, the interviews were carried out by sending voice notes recorded using phones. So if some of the sound is not that good, please understand and forgive us. This podcast has been made possible with support from the Women at Web Project, which is under the Collaboration on International ICT Policy for East and Southern Africa, also known as CIPESA, or CIPESA, depending on how you pronounce it. Our other partner is Phoenix Reason, whose empathy workshop framework we have used for the interviews. So now I will let our participants introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Kanara Mugume, and I am an investigative journalist with NBS Television. I'm also a radio show host on Next Radio, political show called The Big Talk. I'm also a podcaster of two podcasts, one called The CoronaCast on coronaviruses and lessons we've learned, and The Election Podcast, one on politics. And that is about the 2021 general elections in Uganda.
My name is Caro Aliek Bayanga, and I am the managing editor for the digital section, digital content at the Monitor Publications Limited.
Hi, my name is Danze Edwin John, aka Dijan. I'm communications and media personality.
My name is Yvonne Injuna. I work with New Vision as a sub-editor. I have worked on TV, I have worked on radio. Now I'm working with print media.
My name is Emmanuel Sejengo. I'm the editor of The Kampala Sun. The Kampala Sun is an English language tabloid of New Vision.
My name is Sima Chakuhede Sabiti, and my background in the media has been quite varied. I have been a radio presenter. I have been a magazine editor. I've also worked in the marketing department of Uganda's biggest media house, as well as working in their online department.
My name is Eva Zanye, Ernest Bazanye. I'm a former journalist, currently everywhere, consultant, writer.
This is part one of the podcast. In the episodes in this part, we are going to explore the participants' digital journeys using triggers. Triggers are meant to start challenging the participants in the way that they view everyday media. This is episode one. We are going to start with some word association to make sure we are all on the same page. I am going to say three different words, and I'm going to ask all the participants to respond with the first word or phrases that you think of as soon as, you know, I have said the word. All right. Welcome all of you to the podcast. Thank you for agreeing to participate in this. Let's dive straight into the questions. The goal of this podcast is to build empathy. So, what is the first word you associate with empathy?
Empathy? Accommodation.
Humanity. Empathy is being able to understand what someone else is going through. You might not necessarily be going through it yourself, but you can recognize something of yourself in the other person. So you are able to empathize with what it is that they're going through. And I think that that's a basic human emotion. And anyone who is devoid of empathy probably needs some therapy.
In each and every story that I tell, I see empathy, because I am one person who believes in being truthful and not neutral. It's even written on my Twitter bio. I believe that when a story is about someone whose rights have been violated, abused, or stepped on, I should not try to create a moral equivalence and try to seek the other side in the same way as I sought for this person, because, I mean, their rights have been stepped on and their rights are given to them by the Constitution. Why should I create a moral equivalence? So what I do is, empathy comes to me. I step in the other person's shoes, and I feel like this is a story I need to tell from their point of view.
So empathy really means putting yourself in someone else's skin and feeling what they're feeling, understanding, doing your best to understand what they're going through, which at the end of the day, a lot of the time, gets you taking a step, a bigger step, and just sort of just maybe sort of sitting on the side and feeling sorry for them, it gets you to do a little extra for the person. So yeah, empathy is that kind of care, going beyond seeing someone and feeling sorry for them, and actually putting yourself in their mind and thinking what must they be going through, and a lot of the time trying to do something about it, trying to help, trying to comfort, trying to care. Yeah, that's what empathy is.
The first word I associate with empathy, I think, is kindness, being good to others, extending an olive leaf. Those are the words that pop in my head when I see empathy.
When I hear empathy, what I think about is fitting in someone's shoes, putting yourself in someone's shoes. It's not one word, but yeah, I just think about putting yourself in someone's shoes.
Digital rights. How do you define digital rights?
I would term digital rights as the rights for people to access the internet, the rights for people to use the internet within the confines of the acceptable laws, and the right for people to find out information and share their thoughts and ideas, you know, online, again, within the acceptable laws. And I say acceptable laws because I believe that with the rise of things like technology and the internet, there's so much that we can use for good, so much we can use for advancing ourselves. As with many other things, whenever we advance, the good comes with evil, and people will use technology and internet, everything, for very many evil things. And so there has to be some sort of law, some sort of guidelines for what people should be able to use it with. Some of these laws are very helpful and they're acceptable by the people. Some of them are not, because they're infringing again on people's rights. So this is why I keep talking about acceptable. It has to be acceptable to the people. It has to, the laws have to be done in a way that promote people's knowledge, people getting information, sharing their ideas and expressing themselves. But they also have to be in a way that they stop those who are intending to harm others.
A government dealing with the internet. We have people trying. We don't even have countries. It's absolute chaos over there. And so when it comes to digital rights, I don't know. Because the thing is, rights don't come into place naturally. They evolve as the culture evolves, and then there's a point when the culture decides to codify these things into some sort of maybe constitution or document, or they pick a king and a dictator who is going to make a list of decrees. And we haven't really had that digitally, because yes, we can have countries that decide that UCC may decide that we are going to only allow these things and we are going to enforce in places regulations, but these only apply in Uganda. And to be frank, you cannot really say for sure that the internet is in Uganda and therefore the UCC laws apply in Uganda. You really can't be sure, because of the nature of the internet, is that it's not in a country.
The right to express myself or to share content in the digital space and to still be protected, and to not be persecuted if there's anything I'm posting that is not necessarily harming anybody else. But particularly in this era in Uganda, what we're going through right now with, you know, elections and so on, digital rights, I feel, would protect anyone who wants to express their particular political affiliation or religious or anything like that. That would be my understanding of that term.
Digital rights to me are already rights written in the Constitution. that provide you with the freedom and the space to do things using electronic media, telecommunications, and also publishing this content that you are trying to publish on social media platforms without any limitations. You should have the freedom and the space to enjoy all these. For me, that's how I define digital rights.
I would think digital rights are human rights that allow us to fully express ourselves and, you know, communicate or receive information using digital means or digital media. And I think they are as important as any other human rights, so they should be respected.
Digital rights, for my concern, is the freedom to express, for people to express themselves on digital, especially on social media platforms, but also on the other publishing platforms.
What I think of digital rights is freedom of expression, communication, opinion, freedom of posting content, freedom to create, freedom to dialogue, freedom to discuss, freedom to post, share, comment, retweet, engage, freedom to have your voice taken seriously, freedom for you to have your own platform on the social, on the internet.
What do you think of when I say boundaries?
Boundaries, I would say, are lines that are visible or invisible and that are set to protect a person from being intruded upon by another, whether in their space or in their privacy or wherever else. So boundaries are these lines that protect us from people invading us, whether it's physically, emotionally, verbally, you know, psychologically. These are lines that are set up so that we are able to keep safe within a certain space.
Boundaries. Many of us that have been in relationships, or we got breakups or things like that. I'll use that's the case study I'm going to use. Boundaries in relationships is knowing your do's and don'ts or your limits. When you're with someone, there are some kind of boundaries that you can't go over. Like, for example, chilling with your exes. You can't, for some reason, you really can't do that. Let's say boundaries for breaking up. You're not allowed to hold hands with this person anymore, or you're not allowed to have sex with this person anymore, things like that. So boundaries blockades or how far you can take something. That's how I'm going to think about boundaries. How far something.
When I hear boundaries, it's really about how far you can push the envelope and the consequences that come with that, the consequences that come with crossing boundaries or maintaining boundaries, the benefits that come with that as well. You can't just operate without knowing how far you can go in any given situation.
When I hear the word boundaries, the impression I get is blockade. That's where, at the point at which you're blocked from going further.
Boundaries know where and when and how to stop. It doesn't matter if there are physical boundaries or emotional boundaries or, you know, verbal boundaries. It's just what comes in my mind when I hear the word boundaries is know where, when, and how to stop.
Boundaries, I think this is a line that's been created that you cannot cross. Or if you are to cross it, you have to be in a position where you're lawful to cross it. For me, that's what comes into my mind when I hear about boundaries.
In any regard, whether it's social, physical, or internet, or digital, it's pretty much how far you can go before being stopped, as well as how far you're willing to go before you stop.
What does power dynamics mean to you?
When I hear the word power dynamics, what comes in my mind is your ability to control whatever it is that you want to control. Your strength, possibly compared to other people, could be in a relationship, the power that you hold in a relationship, it could be a workplace, it could be your home. So for me, power dynamics really is your ability to control. What kind of control do you have, and to whom do you control, or what do you control?
Power dynamics for me is how you navigate the issue of power from a point of view when you hold more power than another person or you hold less power than another person. So the interaction between the people from both ends of the divide is what is power dynamics for me.
Power dynamics in this case, I would look at it as I guess the elements that we should consider when it comes to being with authority and how you work around it to either implement or affect or effect various policies that may be public, private, or in contention to be private or public. So power dynamics, I'll look at it in that sense. From the end user side, power dynamics of how what I say affects particular policies, or whether a poll I put up may be of reference or may trigger or affect a particular conversation, and then how big of a reaction or trigger that would be in any sense. So that's how I'm looking at power dynamics in this case. If I'm a policymaker or a government official, or let's say a governance or regulatory body, my power dynamics in this case would be how I am going to react to people's messaging and their impact, and what my immediate reaction should be in terms of what the end result may be for certain things like that. So that's how I'm looking at power dynamics.
Power is authority, you know. It's authority and leverage someone has over others. And you know, it's interesting because when we say that kind of power, we may think, oh, the power of a father in a home, you know, the power of even a mother maybe in a home, or the power of a boss in an organization, or the power of a president, or the power of the LC1, you know, in different aspects. But there are very many interesting power dynamics. That's why power dynamics comes in. There is the power of the maid, you know, the house help in the home. She has certain kind of power sometimes that she can leverage. There's the power of the tea girl at the workplace. There's the power of the askari. You know, there's different kinds of people. They have this power in different kinds of ways, and these people we may not at first assume they have power, but once we recognize they do have power because of the knowledge they have, because of the experience they've had being in a certain place for some time, and understanding what works well and who does what when, and therefore being able to use it for, you know, for whether it's for good or for bad, then we can begin to understand how people leverage power in different ways. So yes, power dynamics is when people have it's basically the shifts of power in any particular place, and the difference and how the difference of how that power sometimes changes hands, or how it lies in the hands of people we may not expect, like I've just spoken about. So dynamics is how it changes, how it keeps changing, how it may keep revolving from one person to the other, how it may keep evolving and growing or diminishing from one person to another person. That's what I would look at power dynamics as.
So power dynamics, the means by which I get the things that I want, the way I realize or act on, or the way my power acts. Oftentimes, again, both online and in real life, oftentimes you find that power acts by suppressing another person's power. Like if I want something and someone else has it, I have to attack them and take it away from them, or I have to prevent other people from getting it so that I can have it. This happens in both situations. Although I think that there been many times when we find that we have actually, you know, done the rational and evolved and enlightened thing, where we have figured out ways of negotiation and trade and sharing. And this is another thing which happens a lot in the internet space, and happens more often actually in the internet space than it does in real life.
Dynamics, these for me are things or certain factors that influence or facilitate your progress in life. Given you trying to work on a goal or trying to get onto something, these different things that facilitate your growth and just contribute to your success, they're different dynamics that would define how your success will turn out.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks once again to our participants for agreeing to be a part of this. And thank you to the women at Web Project under Cypessa for making this happen and Phoenix Reason for allowing us to use their framework. Catch you on the next episode. I remain Roland, your host.